from Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing, Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard. You gotta find the project. You gotta lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It is your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At Home Show. I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm David Bates.
That's Michael Stevenson.
Morning.
He is the one that keeps us up and running and alive. And welcome back. Saturday morning, you got to be here for us. So you can dial 615-499-6690. Post a question on the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page, like Sonia did. And Sonia knows what wants to know what our topic for today is going to be, David.
If we knew that.
Now, Sonia lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, I mean.
Well, I think it's fair to say we're going to be talking about vegetable gardening, amongst other things. That would be
pretty rose bushes behind us.
Talk about
and Japanese maples.
Yes, Japanese maples. So we've got a plethora of things to discuss, and of course, really, what we try to discuss is whatever is on your mind, and you can pick up the phone and give us a call at 615-499-6690.
We have visual aid. See, this is a visual format. We're not used to this. We have faces for radio, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. And normally we've been broadcasting here on 650 AM WSM for a long time, several years. Yep.
And of course, and the reason that we're doing it on Facebook Live is that
we got kicked out of the studio, basically.
Well, we did. Yes. And that's
it's
neither here nor there. It's just an is thing. You know, there's a lot going on. Everybody's making a lot of changes. Certainly,
really?
We are no exception. At least you should be making some changes. There seem to be some who are a little disconnected to it all. But, hey, let's get a check of the weather. And, of course, today is Saturday. As you see, going to be a sunny day. A few clouds rolling in later in the day, but great gardening weather.
Uh-huh.
High of 71 degrees. We're going to have some milder temperatures overnight. We did have a light freeze here at Bates Nursery last evening, and that's something we should be talking about in the days ahead. The first 3 days next week, some frost conditions for a great many people can exist. And for those of us who are in outlying areas, such as where the nursery is, we did have a 32-degree reading this morning on our weather station. So, as you can see, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, low temperatures, 39, 36, 35, and some unseasonably cooler temperatures. Only in the 50s as we get through the end of the week. So, that shouldn't give you too much concern about most of the things that you would be planting. However, if you have planted warm season vegetables, you just need to be mindful of that. And we've been very thorough here at Bates Nursery trying to make people aware that it's still kind of early. Our average last frost date is generally between the 10th and the 15th. And you look out there on the date there, 4/15, that's when it would appear that we're going to have a good chance of frost on that night. We get on into the latter part of the week. It starts to warm up into the 60s and 70s. So that could well be the last bit of chilly temperatures.
Sure hope so.
I can't say with certainty, but statistically, it's our average last frost date. And right on course there, you see that it's going to occur on the 15th, so nothing unusual about that. One thing is worth mentioning, that tomorrow is Easter Sunday, and it's going to be a wet one. The Easter Bunny needs to have his raincoat on, because we're going to get not just rain, but perhaps a couple of inches of rain, maybe more if you live south of town.
Weren't they talking about severe weather?
Yes.
There's a chance of that. Again, worse south of our area.
Oh, thanks.
Just be mindful of that as you're getting out and about.
if you, you're getting it, outing it, about.
And here's the thing I always like to tell people when they're, if you have drainage issues, the time to assess those properly is when you're having.
A roof leak would be easy to find.
Well, that, I'm think, of course, I'm more of a landscape drainage kind of a guy, uh-huh. where I'm thinking about getting the water away from the house, making sure it's draining in the direction you want it to drain. Yeah, if you, if you've got anything in your gutters that might be stopping up the flow,
yes,
might want to get that out today.
Old Bradford pear snot, old box elder snot.
There's a there's no shortage of pollen that I think that's what you're referring to,
no,
Josh.
No, no, no. I'm talking about to the little scuzzies, you know, the little white trash that comes off of the.
There's all manner of
even the redbud
discharge,
even the bread, yeah, even the redbud blossoms. You know, yeah, they're in the
nothing
pool.
Stays in bloom forever. No, you know? It just you know it they go through their cycle. So there's a lot of that coming down.
Maybe some Bradford pears will come down tomorrow.
Perhaps. And we're going to – no, this is an
– can only hope.
I got to refresh this because that temperature is not correct. We're up in the 44 degrees here at Bates Nursery and around town, probably more like in Barcelona, 67. 43 is what it says in town there. So
Barcelona.
Yeah, that's what – I've got little headers up there of other – places that I'm fond of in Barcelona, Spain.
Can you check Lahaina real quick? See what it is?
I can.
Since you're in charge of the weather. 615-499-6690. That's the number you dial. You'll go to a voicemail. You can leave your question. If it intrigues us, Michael will call you back. We'll put you online.
Yeah. And we're fairly easily intrigued, are we not?
It's not hard. It's not hard to stump us either because, we've only been doing this for, 22 years. Ish.
Yeah. No, we definitely have been.
Now, David, behind your head is a beautiful tree form rose bush of some sort. What exactly is that?
That one's called ketchup and mustard. And unfortunately, given the amount of
stuff,
yeah, we don't have the ability to be able to get that a good image of that where you can actually see it really well. But but it has a petal that is yellow, the mustard side of it, and mm-hmm. red on the other, the ketchup side of it. So that's
where
ketchup.
Where does the hot dog go?
Ketchup, the hot dog. This is the vegetarian rose.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay. So anyway, ketchup and mustard. It's a cool rose. Of course, this is a tree form of it.
That's what's striking to me is the fact that it is, it seems to be that it would be easy to keep pruned.
I will just be totally forthcoming. Tree roses are something that you need to be willing to
make a commitment
to. Yeah, you got to make a commitment to them. And that's because they are generally grafted hybrid tea roses. And hybrid tea roses are not maintenance-free types of plants.
So you need to have some fungicide is what you're saying.
You got to have a spray program to be sure. And you got to make sure that that you are staying on that schedule because they're very susceptible to pests and pathogens, that kind of thing. So
heavy feeders as well, just like any other rose.
You've got to just like any other rose. You know, it ought to be fertilized monthly, and of course, that generally is the flower cycle that your hybrid tea roses are on. So, and the other things that goes with roses is also keeping the keeping the blooms pruned off of it, and the spent blooms. You don't want them to go into the rose hips stage because that starts taking energy from the plant, and they will really diminish the amount of flowers.
Probably would hurt its feelings if you tell it you're getting a little hippie there, rose bush.
Well, I'm just saying, you got to take those rose hips off. That's at the base of the flower. You'll see they'll start to enlarge, and that's what they call the rose hips.
Okay.
Be mindful of that.
615-499-6690.
Hey, I see Catherine Griffin online there.
Mom.
I see Jeannie Rowe. Hello, Jeannie. Good morning to you. And April Mills. Hello, April. Great to see you out there this morning. And it's a chilly change from what we were experiencing this time last week. Actually, the last couple of weeks has been really
glorious.
Yeah, shorts weather all day, from the morning all the way through. Now, I will likely make it into shorts later in the afternoon. I'm not there yet. I've still got the fleece on and a long sleeve shirt. So that is.
I'm rocking a base layer and insulated pants, man. So
does that make you somebody special?
It does. I'm always special. It's all about me. You know that, David. So, I mean,
I'm just wearing a fishing shirt and some regular blue jeans because it's not that cold outside, guys.
Okay, you're not old either. All righty, 615-499-6690. We see that Kimberly has a question. Kimberly offered. She says she has a runner grass in her perennial garden bed. How can I kill it without killing my plants?
Well, the first thing would be really good if you could identify what kind of, quote, runner grass. I'm going to surmise it's Bermuda
grass. Yeah.
And Bermuda grass is difficult because it tends to want to grow in between whatever else you have there. And if it's other low-growing types of plants.
A driveway, the walk, you know, the stepping stones, it'll jump a tree.
You pretty much are relegated to being able to use a glyphosate-type product. Mm. And, of course, many of you will know that by the brand name Roundup. There are other sellers of that chemical. And by spraying directly on that, carefully, stop for just a moment and repeat our warning that we like to give, because a lot of folks fail to read the directions on the label. They hide all kinds of information on there. I don't know if you knew that or not, Josh.
The instructions,
they are clearly printed on every bottle, no matter what kind of chemical. So if we're talking about glyphosate or the commercially branded name Roundup, there are instructions on the back. A lot of them are ready to use, the RTU type of bottles that you just simply spray. You don't have to do any mixing.
Use that real fancy acronym, RTU.
The other difficulty is that it's expensive if you go that route.
By the
concentrate, it's a lot more economical, but it does require. This is where reading the directions is very important. Part of that is making sure that you have a proper amount of personal protection. I think we're at a point in time where that we are all pretty much up on our personal protection. Josh, let's see what you got there. You got your WSM. You can wear that around the face. There you go. Uh-huh. So
hair ties.
Yeah. Now, that is really probably, if you were worried about a chemical that you were around, that's not really sufficient.
I'm not going to drink it, though.
Okay. Well, a lot of the hazards associated with spraying anything is how you approach spraying it and applying it. Oftentimes, you see images of people who have a sprayer pumped up, and it's making a lot of
A lot of
mist.
Yes.
You don't want that when you're spraying weeds. You want to adjust your nozzle so that you get a large droplet size. You do not want to atomize it. And as we all are very well versed to what atomization does, you know, with all the COVID-19 stuff, we have had a bit of a physics lessons as far as understanding the nature of a particulate matter and how it can get airborne. And if you're using a sprayer, that's a really good example of that, where that if you have your nozzle choked down at too much of a fog and at too high a pressure, you will atomize it, and that vapor or those little particles get suspended in the air.
And then they go over on the stuff that you don't want to get killed.
Exactly.
So that's what happens.
So it's very important to make sure that you don't overpressurize your little pump-up sprayer, and you don't have your nozzle set where it is creating a mist. You want it to have kind of a conical shape, but you don't want it in a straight stream either. So you kind of get it adjusted to the side.
Only if you want to write your name in the lawn, though.
You can do that. You can do that. But I would only suggest it if you have really nice handwriting. You don't want it to look sloppy.
That's true. 615-499-6.
So read the directions, and if you're going to be spraying Bermuda grass coming into your flower beds, you have to do one further thing. You got to wait until it becomes active. And Bermuda grass, I've not seen evidence of Bermuda grass starting to green up as yet. It cannot absorb the chemical glyphosate until it is actively growing. So if you wish, you go in there and dig out as much as you can. For all the good that will do, it will grow back.
We've also got another question, David, on the Facebook page. It's from Kit Sherman, and Kit is saying that they're new to the area and wants to know if you can stop by the nursery here. But yes, you can, but there are some certain rules and some things that have changed over the last couple of days.
And well, yes, in the last week. And with certainty, we are aggressively working to be fully compliant with all of the social distancing measures that are that come with being a business like ours that is deemed essential. And we, in case you're curious, and I have been questioned about this, and it's a fair question to ask, what makes a nursery essential? The fact that we sell, and there are more people than ever really interested in vegetable gardening and planting edible landscape plants, figs, blueberries, blackberries,
this predates the COVID-19 situation as well, because folks are trying to control their food sources and doing it organically as best you possible. And the only way that you can ensure that is to take a bit of that control. And if you get it from a reputable dealer like Bates Nursery, and then you are the one that's in control of how you and what you use on your food crops.
Absolutely. So, and you know, and preferably, you know, you're going to grow organically.
Yep.
And when you grow organically, you you eliminate all those chemicals. That doesn't mean that really the biggest theory behind growing organically is to be able to reduce the amount of pesticide use, hopefully eliminate it, simply by giving the plant all the things that it needs. And organic type of soil mixes that are that don't have chemical fertilizers in it, but do have things such as mycorrhiza fungi and humic acid, the things that the best living soils have, is one of the things that you need to do to have success in growing your organic plants. So we were talking about the restrictions, and anyway, that's what makes us an essential business. And when you when you come out, we've had to really throttle back the number of people who can be here at any one time. We have a parking lot, a paved parking area in the front. That's the smaller part of our parking. That we are fully limiting that to how many spaces we have available in that front parking lot. Further, there's going to actually be about 50 spaces, and we are further limiting our guest to only 2 adults per vehicle. And I regret to say, if you show up with more than 2, we're going to have to ask you to pull out and someone's going to have to not come back with you. And it's unfortunate, but this is the way it is. We no children, no pets. And here's the thought process behind this, is that we feel like we can handle about 100 people on site pretty easily. It's a 3-acre site. That, you know, it gives people plenty of room to spread out, not being under any kind of confined space at all. So we're working very hard to make sure that we have correct social distancing. We've got marked off checkout lanes where it keeps you spaced in the line so that you don't get too close to the person in front.
Yep.
We have only one person per cart coming through, and you have to stand on the little square at the checkout counter right across from the plexiglass barrier to protect our employees who are checking out your materials that you have purchased. So, but
yes, you're welcome. Again, now David's also taking orders online. That's
absolutely.
That's
and that's much of the reason why we have cut our hours back. Additionally to being open only from noon until 4 o'clock, we're now closed on Mondays, and we will be closed tomorrow, which is Easter Sunday. So, we're going to be back to a 6-day schedule, only 4 hours a day. And the reason for that is that
got to get the orders pulled.
These internet orders have been surprisingly numerous. We put this in a couple of years ago, and we've done a few orders along, but you never really know how much that's going to be received, and you certainly can have no knowledge of a situation being as we currently have. So It takes us more time to do that. It takes a lot of hands to be able to accurately pull these orders.
We got Martha Ann on the phone. She had some more questions about the koi fish from last week.
Okay.
So Martha Ann?
Good morning.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear good you morning. Just fine. How are you, ma'am?
Well, pretty good. I had a couple of questions, actually, about the fish seem to be working out. I found a fellow that is in, he's in right near Springfield, and he has a tank. And, oh, yeah, I'm out of time to like here. Okay, well, anyway, so that's working because I don't have a truck yet. And the guy sent me a, Mr. Dickerson, sent me a picture of the
Mr.
fish.
Dickerson, yeah, Lewis, okay, yeah.
Well, anyway, so the question, I don't, I wish I had some words.
He's a scamp,
he would,
by
he
the
would
way.
Probably say Mr. Dickerson was his father, right?
No.
He's not that kind of guy, no.
No, no. Yeah. He's quite the scamp, by the way, Martha Ann, so.
So watch out.
Yeah. Watch out. Do we know this? But he also he said his name was like Gibson Rhodes. So I thought, well, it's interesting too.
Okay.
So anyway, no, he's a very nice gentleman, and I believe his wife is here, and we can most of the time. So,
okay.
Well, anyway, so how do I get them unloaded? You know, and how much more do I do about the water? It's kind of, it's cleaner than the pond probably, and they don't need the bottom cleaned out, which is good, and because it's got a lot of stuff down there now. And it's deep. It's 9.5 feet deep at the deep end. And
oh, my goodness.
4 feet.
That's a very, koi pond, that's a really deep koi pond. They're not going to know how to act.
they're huge already. And
by the way, Josh, Jake and Holly are asking, who is Mr. Dickerson?
Yeah, who is that? Yeah, yeah. And that's one of his sons. Well, and his son, daughter-in-law. But no, hey, that sounds fantastic. Now, you know, as with any living creature in a pond, and that's one of the things that my best friend and his wife had for a period of time, was the keeping the, I believe it was the pH that was the, and some of the problem. But I believe Lewis uses the aquatic critter there in Tusculum. I think that's where he and so again, it's just seeking the services of a competent professional sometimes, particularly for a newbie with these, would be real key for you, Martha Ann. But it sounds fantastic. I mean, a 9.5 foot deep koi pond, my goodness, you're going to grow.
The thing of it is, if things get really hot midsummer, you can just jump in and join them, you know. And
That's the goal, but you've probably got the right place there. Because why? Because you not have a, I mean, we used to, I don't know if that's because we used to do in the farm ponds, which are really cow fields, you know what I mean, but.
Well, I will tell you this is that my best friends, when they had their pond, the biggest downfall to it were herons, and they had to.
Now, if you've got big enough koi, the heron are not a issue, but if you've got small,
like, little babies,
they will wear them out.
Well, good deal.
But they've got to be big koi.
I've dealt with that, and I had a beautiful just one koi managed to make it. I threw a whole winter up there, and my name is Carpe Diem.
So it seized it, okay. But they also, now again, you with it being 9.5 feet deep, I don't think you'll ever have a chance that thing was going to freeze solid. I mean, it's
no. I have actually seen them freeze solid, and you think, well, they're gonna be dead, and then when the water thaws out, they just start swimming again. So I think they got that. I don't know if it's torpor or. Suspended animation.
I was going to say, are they the Captain America fish or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, they had that little blue stuff that they put into them. Yeah. But Martha Ann, again, just a refresh for everybody that is maybe just joining us for the first time. We had a koi fish location show last week.
It was the koi witness relocation.
Fish episode. Location.
Yes.
Fish location. Yeah. So we had a friend and a mentor of mine, and he is moving to Florida and was trying to get his babies into a suitable home. And Martha Ann, I really appreciate you taking on this. So. We'll know that they're going to stay a bit in the family. So,
absolutely.
I really want them because it's something to do with that pool. It's just a huge amount of water, and it costs all kinds of money to try to clean it up. But I'm trying to figure out how to get it going clean enough. And plants are going to be needed for this. And David, I know you used to have water plants. So that called me back.
We do marginals, and we don't do like water lilies and that kind of thing, but we do marginals.
There are specialists out there that are
absolutely, yeah. And that kind of is that it's you know, we definitely dabbled in it about a decade or more ago and found out that that was not our forte. That having was not the, our cup of tea.
Having the
Go ahead. I had very sweet in that pool, and I think the plants do just fine, and they helped us everything, great. You know, below us. And that was the most beautiful smell I've ever smelled in my life. It makes me believe in the, you know, mythology of the sirens or whoever they were that, you know, drew the men over because they were so beautiful and smelled good and all that. Anyway, that, and they're possible. They cost about $50 back in the old days, so I don't know what you can get them for. Well. But also, I had a question about the neighborhood over here, and this is a serious thing I want people to consider when they, every time they say anything. We have a wonderful lady and cousin that are across the street, and they have bees, many bees now, and they've been doing bees for a few while. But anyway, they've got a whole shipment in, and within 2 days, I'm seeing them out there, and I saw one that was trying to get in our house, and didn't look too happy, and she was out of there, and she kind of got on the ground. I think I even stepped on a thing. But my daughter said she had found one that was not doing well either. And then I called the guy across the street and to tell him about it. And said, we have mustard blooming, which they like. If it's the bee collapse virus, you know, the thing they love and like, it's in their throat. And also we have mint blooming. Well, when it gets ready to bloom, then they like that too. But he said they have both of those things and they don't use any chemicals. And then, also, and then after talking to him, I saw this bumblebee who was in the same on my little porch up there.
I always wonder, are they really bumbling? I mean, are they ready? I mean, they seem to be fairly, for something that's that big around and can fly, you know.
So what's the question, Martha?
The question is, something's going on in the neighborhood that's killing the bees, and I think it might be my next-door neighbor's working on a house, and they've even sprayed the bricks to change colors. And what can people, you know, watch out for and make sure the bees don't, you know, the bees are going after something, maybe water. Maybe just their house, or they were trying to build one on somebody else's house, and they got sprayed with paint. But anyway, they are susceptible to anything, and we need them.
Yeah, we definitely have to be careful with our bees and take good care of them. And Martha, we want to thank you for calling in this morning and being a part of the At Home Show here on Facebook Live, Saturday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. So I see Thad Edwards out there. Josh, he's got his smoker grill going, and he's sitting outside enjoying the show. So welcome, Thad.
That's what I'm going to be doing when I get home. I'm actually going to smoke some ribs.
How are you going to keep them lit?
It just gives me such, you know, it makes my lungs just, I don't know if that's really that good idea.
Well, you know, it's there's ways to get around that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Torch?
Something like that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Oh, folks, I tell you what, you're having our Ted Nugent? Yes, Ted Nugent, and again, Sonia and I used to work together a million years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, we did. Yes, Ted Nugent is the Cat Scratch Fever is the theme song of the At Home Show.
Has been
used with full permission of Mr. Nugent, by the way.
Yeah.
So
we thank you, Ted.
Yes, appreciate it, buddy. It's all good. Oh, my goodness. You know, we have a little bit of an issue that I'd like to touch base on, boys and girls, if that's okay with you. There, with everybody being home, it appears that in the greatest county in the greatest state in the greatest country in the history of the planet, that our convenience centers, a.k.a. the dump, is limiting a certain amount of construction waste and demolition waste, and we're awaiting a phone call. We were thinking that we might get one from a fellow that might know a little bit more about it than us. But folks, when you're doing these things out there, and you're doing your projects, and you're starting to tear them apart, be advised that they're not taking a lot of stuff at the convenience. Yeah,
and do you have any insight as to what the rationale or the reasoning behind that is?
Well, according to the snippy little reply that I got from a certain person at a waste management facility, it was because of too many people are doing this kind of thing now.
Because they got time to...
They got time on their hands right now. I didn't speak to this person directly, but what I was trying to do, what they're saying, and David, if you could, but can you get that one image that I sent you up there? Image number one there. Can you get that up there?
Yeah, you just keep talking. Let me see if I can
I had sent an inquiry because I have a personal issue, and again, since it's all about me, I mean, it is all about me.
Egocentric.
No, not the center of the ego. Okay. All right.
At the side.
Yeah, that's okay. But we We have a project where I've been assigned by the project manager to dispose of a hot tub. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever tried to get rid of a hot tub whole, in pieces, parts.
You broke my wife's heart when she saw that video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she probably would have taken that from you.
Oh, well. It might not have been. Well, it might not.
That's what I told her.
It might not have been in her best interest or yours, because I like you, Michael. I'm not gonna hang that kind of a pressure upon you. But what I was trying to get clear in particular was what defines what is one item per day. Now, if our goal here is to limit the amount of contact, it seems to me that daily trips to the convenience centers would be less than ideal. It seems like you could get it all in the truck all at one time and then perhaps get it all done. But I've got some images, and I'm not just griping about this, because it's
not just griping.
No, but we need to get some clarity. But folks, if you're out there and you're going to tear out a bathroom, hey man, you can't take the stuff to the dump. I guess the Rutherford County landfill, for a fee you could do that. But you know, as we do pay taxes in the great Rutherford County for the services, and my hometown does not have curbside pickup, and they wouldn't be picking this stuff up anyway. I may be forced to go with the junk removal, which is a significant.
Here we go, Josh. Here's the images.
What is the definition of one bulk item? Now, and if you'll look into the background there, as you see, all the open top boxes don't appear to have anything in them.
Are you talking about those roll-off, those green roll-off
those
dumpsters?
Those big green dumpsters. Yeah.
They do seem to be, at least from this angle, devoid of any.
I'm pretty sure that leveled off.
Well, that's very distinctly possible, Michael, but having been to, I'm a frequent dumper. I mean, again, I will tell you this. I'm a dump kind of guy. I use it. I don't pay to have my trash taken off. So it is a Sunday morning tradition that I go to the Rutherford County Convenience Center. Love them. You know, guys are great out there. I know people. I mean, if you take up your beer cans at some point in time, you could probably take nuclear waste, but not this time. Yeah. So, but in addition to those looking empty, they are also cordoned off. If you've noticed the way that they have the cones,
those orange barrels and cones.
Okay,
and
now on Sunday, you're not allowed to take bulk items or any of the trash. But that image was taken yesterday afternoon. Now, it only took me 27 minutes from the road to the gate
to get to that point to find out you couldn't use the dump.
Right. Well, no, I did. I had one bag of trash, and the guy was very appreciative that I only had one bag of trash. But just trying to get some clarification. But folks, if you got to tear a hot tub apart, and maybe we can get that. Maybe we can get my commercial that I sent you guys up there on the Facebook page too, and we'll maybe have that run for us. But I'm griping. I'm hurt by this, but I don't think it. I don't
deny a man his right
to take things
to the dump.
Okay. Well, I mean, okay.
He's trying to work his way through life.
Now, David, and again, I'm trying to follow the rules. I'm trying not to take. Yeah. I could have taken all those electric motors and those electric pumps, and I gifted you two of the pumps.
Yeah, but you know, a good pack rat who's never seen a pump he didn't like.
Well, but I mean, a man that can take you that could make use of those pumps.
I actually have a
plan.
I got a plan in mind for one of them for sure.
Okay, because I found a third one. If you need one, as I'm cutting this thing up, but if I need to bag it, I'll bag it, but again, limiting the trips to the facility seems to me to be the right thing to do, as opposed to all at once. Because on the cheap side, I'm thinking this is, if I were to get one of the Bagster items, which is a very viable option, because it's not 3,300 pounds worth of material. I'll have it cut up, and I won't exceed the top level of it. You're looking at about $150. That's tasty. And guess what? I have a feeling that at the end of the day, that when they pick the Bagster up it's probably going to go to the landfill in Rutherford County anyway. Don't you?
I think that's a reasonable assumption, Josh. Yes. So okay. I mean, so what by using this forum to explain,
it's a bully pulpit, boys and girls.
To explain your disdain, what do you hope to achieve by this?
Nothing. I'm just getting it off my chest. But
hey, let me say hello to give a couple of shout outs. Karen Marcy, hello, Karen. She says she's at. Working on her plants and potting some plants this morning. Mark Shahan, good to see you as well, Mark, online. And our buddy Lisa Sutton.
The Rose Lady.
Yes. And she said she came out yesterday and got some knockouts and daylilies. And I'm sorry that I missed you, Lisa. I'm really sorry that I did. So it's a really busy time in my world right now. And yeah. there is just not nearly enough of me to go around, so I really hate that I can't see everybody that comes out this time of year. Hey, I want to talk a minute on the screen behind me. You see I've got our EarthMix graphics up there, and that's right from our website, earthmix.net.
Yep.
All around town, all the independent garden centers, whether you're in Nashville, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, or up in Kentucky, there's all you can go over to the website, earthmix.net, and go to locations, and you can find a dealer near you. They're all over the area, even in Bloomington, Indiana. So EarthMix Garden Products has gotten out there. And I think the real interest in EarthMix is finally gotten out because people understand the way that it is produced. It is sustainably produced. You know, materials are secured locally or produced on site. 100% organic. There is no chemical additives, nothing artificial put in there. It's
good
all good stuff, and patiently aged and patiently composted. And to do composting,
now, David, couldn't you add ground up pallets and expand your profit margin?
Well, now I will tell you, there is some wood product in ours. However, by the time we use it, it's already 2 years old.
It's composted.
We put special microbes on that to digest those wood products. So we don't use it until it's time to use it. It only makes up a very small percentage. One of the things we're able to do is to take all of our dead shrubs and this white wood packing material. Now, none of this is treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's all white wood. So there's no chemical additives in it whatsoever, and we grind it all up. And it takes about 2 years of pre-composting before we can begin to introduce small amounts of it into our supernatural compost. So,
and it's widely available, as you mentioned.
Over Middle Tennessee, check out the website earthmix.net for a location near you. And remember this, the success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use EarthMix garden products. And you've probably seen it on Volunteer Gardener. You've probably seen it on Food to Fork magazine.
Excuse me.
It's a organic gardening newsletter magazine that's out and about the area. So
Food to Fork.
Food to Fork.
My mother-in-law gets it.
Yep.
Does she really?
Mm-hmm. I've seen EarthMix in there.
All right. Yeah. So check it out there.
You use EarthMix.
Mm-hmm.
I use EarthMix.
Yeah. So do I.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Huh?
So, anyway, check that out. And but above everything else, none of that matters if it doesn't really grow things well. And that's where EarthMix really excels.
Yep.
A lot of things can make things stay alive, but if you want things to really thrive, you need to give it excellent soil or amendments to grow in. So check out the full line of products over at earthmix.net.
615-499-6690. We see you out there, Bill Hayes. And Bill Hayes is a friend of ours from a long way back as well, and lots of things going on. Now, he's quite the character. He is also manages a page that I believe you've got a new piece of equipment I'd like to hear about, Bill. It looks like it might be a recycled honey wagon.
He also hosts and manages a very interesting equipment Facebook page.
Yes.
That's interesting machines.
Yes.
And there's some really, really cool stuff with Sherry Forrest. Good morning. You make sure to give Ernie
up,
a big hello for us.
I got to do a shout out because one of my old classmates is watching.
John Rosser?
John Rosser, yeah.
Yep.
And his wife Jamie works with my wife, Catherine, but Jamie just doesn't seem to think this is me, but it is me.
Huh. Well, I don't know.
I've been doing this a long time.
So are you going to put your graduation picture up on Facebook?
Do you want me to explain to you what my graduation picture looked like?
No, I know what mine looks like.
No, mine was like quintessential 2000s. I had on, like, not the formal picture. I had on my Hawaiian shirt,
cool,
my puka shell necklace,
yeah, man,
and my frosted tip hair.
Oh, you had
tips. Oh, yeah.
That's back when you had
hair tips
to frost, right?
I still
right?
can do that.
Okay, all right.
I can still do it.
Yeah. We see which direction is trending in. I can give you some projections.
Now, it's okay. It's the Jason Statham look. I'll take it any day of the week.
Jason Statham.
Okay.
All right, 615-499-6690. Now, Mr. Bates, will you be posting your graduation photo on...
I think it's available. I don't mind doing it. You know,
it's on a daguerreotype. I mean,
it's one of those metal
glass pads.
Mm-hmm. I don't have it readily available, so I can't do it right now.
I think all the visual evidence of mine is gone. There was a small flood.
You destroyed it purposefully, right?
No. There's a small flood in an apartment at one point in time that the old annual might have gone away, which is
okay. I want to touch base with folks again quickly. We are working on reduced hours here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, and that's a way for us to help fulfill all the curbside orders that are coming in, and also meet our commitment to social distancing and keep the people who do shop at Bates Nursery and Garden Center safe from each other. That requires us to have to change our protocol a bit. And if you're subscribed to my newsletter, In the Garden at Bates Nursery, you already know this. By the way, grateful to say I had, on last week's newsletter, I had over 7,000 people open the newsletter. And that's unique opens. So grateful to everyone who checked that out. And that's the best way to stay informed of, particularly in really changing times. And
it only comes once a week, folks. Right. It's
3:50 on Thursday afternoon.
And
when
he doesn't
it comes
sell
out.
Your information, so nope, I mean, it's all nope. good.
It's all secure in-house. But anyway, we're now open Tuesday through Sunday, excluding tomorrow because it's Easter. We're going to be closed tomorrow. We will be closed on Mondays going forward, but simply because we need a day to kind of be able to catch up and catch our breath a little bit. It's been a very difficult stretch for us, and making a lot of adjustments. But most of all, we want to be 100% compliant with keeping everyone safe, and we're doing that by limiting the number of vehicles that can get in and the number of adults that can be in the vehicle. Two adults only. If there's more than that, you will not be able to come in today, and I regret that, but that's just the way it is. We have a limited amount of space. We don't want to be in violation. And so
Bill is telling us that if David doesn't continue to try to do these things, and there's a state up north that makes a lot of cars that they've closed the garden centers. And that
well, there have been some garden centers locally closed because of that. And, you know, we very much want to be able to stay open and serve your needs for those who want to come in. We want to do that, but we can only do it if we do it in a very measured way. That means that just because you drive out here, you might not get to drive right in the park. You might have to wait a few minutes. So
that's okay. Just be patient.
If you are doing a curbside pickup, we will work to try to bypass you out of the line, pull you straight to the curbside pickup area, get you loaded, and get you back out. So we're working hard to make sure that we keep the flow going. So a lot of people coming to pick up orders, so we're working diligently to try to pick you guys out, but you can only go to the curbside pickup area. You cannot get out and shop. Yep. That's the way that is. So I know there's a lot of rules, but it's not just us. You know, everybody who's an essential business are dealing with these same issues, and we all have to look at our own unique situation and do it the very best that we possibly can. So,
David, the Jamie Reed Faircloth. It's probably Jamie Faircloth now.
Yeah. Well, he goes by
Jamie Reed.
That's his stage name. He's a great sax player, by the way.
Is he?
And he's a Christmas tree grower as well, and a personal friend of mine.
Well, he wants to know, is there an organic solution to weeds besides Muscle Power?
Ooh, that's a tough one. there are things you can do, like those propane torches on the end of a, you can burn weeds down. That's one way you can do it.
And that's a fun way to do it.
Well, now you got to be careful what you're working around. You know, yeah. If you're working around Christmas trees, I wouldn't recommend that.
Ooh, boy, that would.
Yeah. There are, you can get a rear tine tiller and set your depth gauge where it's really shallow.
Hold your fingers up close to the camera, David.
You're gonna want to really set it shallow so that you don't dig in deep, because you don't want to be tearing up surface roots of the plants around you, but you want to get deep enough to dig out those surface weeds. So there's that. A good old-fashioned hoe has been used for a lot of years, just a garden hoe to get in there and clean out around the plants. There are some commercially available pieces of equipment that run either on a PTO, a power takeoff off of a tractor, or hydraulically on a piece of equipment. Those start running into money, not just for the implement, but for more importantly, for the piece of equipment that it takes to operate it. So that's a tough one. And weed control and doing it organically are often at cross ends with each other. It's very tough.
Now, aren't there, and it's, again, we have to get to the old wives' table there somewhere. There were a few of them.
I think it's over there. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
But it seems like if you were to look at some of those old wives' tales, there was something about vinegar.
Okay, now you, there are, if you can get like industrial strength vinegar, uh-huh, like 30% vinegar.
Right.
It will do quite a good job. And there are some recipes out there online that you can follow that will perhaps add a couple. You got to be careful when you start mixing things together,
yes,
though. Don't experiment. Follow other directions, and you'll get some pretty clear direction. I'm hesitant to even talk about this because there are household chemicals that, if they are mixed together, can be lethal.
Yes.
They can be explosive. So I really am very concerned. Now, I survived a childhood of experimentation.
Yes, I did too.
You know, it's not based on meritorious conduct. I was just very fortunate.
Do as I say, not as I do.
And
what you're saying.
Mark, folks, I see you out there, buddy. Great to see you this morning, as is my lovely bride, Renee.
Oh, my goodness.
She actually sang karaoke last night online with friends in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico.
Is there film?
As I went to bed.
Is there film of this?
I have no idea. I haven't seen her since I went to bed as that was starting, so I don't know.
So you're interacting, you're socially interacting with her over Facebook.
Said goodnight, okay, as I ate dinner and went to bed, and she was going to do that. So that's the way that went.
I fried chicken last night.
Kate Lloyd, see you out there. Hope you enjoy or doing well. Hello, my dear cousin, Deborah Box. Hope you and Ron and the whole family are doing well. And we're just here talking about gardening things. You can pick up the phone. Give us a call. Josh, that number is 615-499-6690. I finally got it.
And somebody asked if they can text that number. They can.
Yeah, so if you have a text message you want to send, you can send a text. And if you've got a question, if you're too bashful, too afraid, too self-conscious, if you're being monitored.
Chicken.
Yeah, chicken.
If you're, I'm an intimidating phone screener. I mean, some people don't want to talk to you.
Obviously. I mean, just look at him. I mean, it's all about the blue just radiates the, you know, that rage that dwells deep within your soul.
Sonia, that is a very good thing to do. Her question was, is she fresh presses her coffee every day? Look at her. And she throws the grounds in her mulch shrub area. Is there any specific plants that she should avoid
grounds? No. And contrary
great additive to mulch.
It's a great additive to use around your plants. Contrary to what, even though coffee, before you brew it, is quite acidic, by the time it goes through the brewing process, that acidity has been removed. So the grounds you put out there may be like 6.9 or 6.8, but only slightly acidic. So you're not going to really get a lot of acidic value out of them, but it is great organic material.
Keep in mind, she's from North Carolina, so there's 9,000 pine needles within every square inch of the entire state.
Correct.
So, All right, 615-499-6690.
We do have a text message.
We have a text message.
It's a question for you, Josh.
Oh, my goodness.
It's about time.
This is your moment. This is what you've been preparing for.
22 years in the making, and here it comes.
I got no rhythm even
if you that. Have deck board showing surface rot, if you sand down somewhat, is there a product to apply that will stop the rot and then allow you to stain it over? Thanks, Renee.
No. No, not that I'm aware of. And again, depending upon the species of the board, I'm not a real fan of sanding pressure-treated wood at all.
Well, I mean, of course,
after
it's been out there a while, you know, the treatment obviously is moving away because the natural decay is beginning to occur on the...
It's probably one of the newer treatments. So, I mean, depending upon the age... Do you have personal knowledge of this particular project?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of those things that you try to paint them, even after they're weathered, the wood does not want to hold paint outdoors. It wants to pop off, even if you primed
it. Especially if you get sun on it and you get everything going. I am still a big advocate of semi-transparent oil-based stains on pressure-treated wood. I think it's the best product that you can use on it. It is not a maintenance-free item. You need to do it at least every other year, and that's dependent upon the amount of
if it UV gets sun all day, then you probably every year then. Right.
So, I mean, and it's not hard to do, depending. Again, I used to have a dedicated pump-up sprayer just for sealer and that product at the household, but it's not terribly expensive. You can get some cheap stuff. I mean,
one of our radio pals from the past, Eric Stone.
Oh my goodness,
gave us a big like out there. So Eric, great to hear from you this morning. Great to see that you're out there and alive. And we're here at Bates Nursery doing the at home show with Josh Carey and David Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook Live edition of our show and
the sabbatical edition.
Yeah, you know, we have no idea where we're going with this. Or if it, in fact, going anywhere, who knows? But we're here now, and if you've got questions, feel free to pick up the phone, either text us a message, leave a message, a voicemail, or we'll call you back. If you want to interact, we're glad to do that, 615-499-6690.
Yep.
615-499-6690.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to always say those phone numbers slowly.
Often. Okay.
Well, mm-hmm. If we're talking Alabama anyway.
It's 8:52 on Saturday morning, by the way.
So I sent you guys a picture of that Japanese maple I have at the corner of my house.
Yes.
What is the best way to trim some of that back?
With shears?
Well, I know that.
Yeah, pruners, yeah, pruners a lot of times.
But, I mean, is there like a particular, like something to watch out for?
Well, the first thing that needs to happen is... Of course, you didn't plant it, so we can't put this on you. The onus is not on you, but you did buy it with the knowledge that it is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a mistake commonly made by many homeowners, including whoever you bought your home from, is that they will plant something without thinking about what its ultimate growth will be. They simply plant it based on what looks right at that moment
the
in time.
The mature height.
Say, for instance, these highlight arborvitaes that we have in front of, a beautiful golden arborvita. You might plant that at the corner of your house or at the corner of your porch, and you say, well, about 3 feet looks nice, 2.5 maybe, you know. It looks really good. The only thing is, this will get to be 8 to 10 feet tall, and it'll get 6 feet wide.
The average size here says that it reaches 8 feet tall, 4 feet wide in 10 years, reaches 20 feet with age.
Right.
Gee, it says right there on the label, dude. Yeah.
And that's where they, just like on other products, that's where they hide a lot of information, on the label. So the person who planted it did not do you any favors because they planted it too closely. That makes you have to trim it, which is not what you really want to do because it destroys the natural shape of it, and it makes the process a lot more difficult.
Well, the person who originally built the house is the one who planted it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my second question for you guys is a lot more complicated. So
we'll be the judge of that.
Oh, no. This is like the HVAC guy came in and said it's the most complicated thing he's ever seen in his career.
Uh-huh.
So we've got our living room and stuff. You know, it's a multi-level house.
Yep.
We've got a bonus room on the very top.
Okay.
Then our main living level. And then below is like a den and a little playroom for my little boy. Now, we've got a fairly brand new HVAC unit. Problem is like in the summertime when you're running the air, it is an ice box downstairs, right? Okay. So we call the HVAC guy. He takes a look at it. He's like, okay, well, you just need a, I forget the term he used. It's like a secondary system, but like a side system, a subsystem.
Split system. Okay.
Yeah. Split system. So we go inside, and the people we did buy the house from remodeled the den and put up like this, like board stuff on the ceiling. And the guy looked at it and he goes, you're going to have to tear your whole ceiling out to do this.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, are you serious? He's like, well, with the side system, only part of the ceiling. And just to get the word to cap off the vents and I guess run wherever they got to go. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I know nothing about HVAC. So I'm asking.
Do you know what HVAC stands for?
Something, something, air conditioning. I don't know.
Heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I get the air conditioning part right.
Okay.
You get 2 points for that one, but you was eligible for 5 if you'd gotten them all. So just letting you know.
So you're wanting it not to be cold in the basement.
I want it to not be cold in the basement. Right now we've turned off the vents down there, and that's helping somewhat. And the funny thing is in the winter, it's fine. It's perfect down there just because, you know, the heat's whatever. But I don't want this to turn into like a $15,000 project.
Then don't do it.
Well, there's got to be another way.
There's got to be another way.
Well, you could. This is just
my
evil brain thinking. You could. If you just simply took and put a ventilation system in where you extract the hot air from upstairs and return it downstairs, then that's going to displace a lot of that cooler air and push it up. Now, of course, you know, convection is working against you. Convection means that the hot air is going to rise. So the cold air is going where it wants to go. So what you have to do is make it not go where it wants to go naturally. And you can do that if you bring the hot air from downstairs and put it in, or vice versa. Take the cold air downstairs and turn it upstairs.
So what was your
HVAC? That might be the better way to go. If you put, you could, if you're really thinking crazy now.
Crazy talk now.
Is to put a fan in there with a switch that you could reverse the fan depending on which direction you wanted to go. So it might be that at this time of year, since it's too cool in the basement, you could take that cool air, send it up top where you need more cold air. And in the wintertime, when you're heating, it might need more down there. You could reverse it and go the other way.
Put some clothes
just
on.
Just a crazy thought.
Crazy thought.
Well, and to be fair, I don't personally think it's that cold. But then, like you pointed out,
you're not the only one that lives in your house, right?
I'm also not the only one that lives in my house. And my mom, my mother-in-law, and my wife refuse to go down there because they say it's an ice box.
I wouldn't do anything then. I'm going to leave it alone completely, and then you'll have your own, you and the boy will have a man cave down there. See,
that wouldn't cost, it really constitutes being a cave.
It does. It's on the lower level of the household.
Well, the fella that's coming back, he's coming back to service the unit next week.
Okay,
and he told me his official answer was, "I need to brainstorm about this."
Yeah, he probably have to think about it. Now, again, reversing the airflow might be the best bet, or put some clothes on. Hey, there's the round man with the square deal is out there. He's listening, Big Harold. How you doing, my friend? 615-499-6699.
Hey, want to say good morning to Nancy Coop, a wonderful landscape designer here in the Middle Tennessee area, and I don't know. Nancy might have moved. I'm not sure about that, but she's a good friend. And Nancy, great to see you out there this morning. Glad to have you here on the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. Facebook Live from Bates Nursery, the Green Room.
Mm-hmm. 0.9 miles north of Briley Parkway.
It's a mile, Josh.
It's 0.9 miles.
Nobody measures it that close.
A mile is on the
only you measure it that close.
The 1 mile is at the auxiliary.
Going to have a beautiful day today, as you see up there on the screen. Great day to get out and do whatever you want to do. Hey, one of the things I want to mention, not only applies at Bates Nursery, is our shop alone mantra that we're trying to put. You know, we will allow two people in here, but we encourage you just to shop by yourself. We're really doing everything we can to try to limit the number of people at one time. It's very difficult for us because this is the time of year when people get your hands off.
Shut up. I'm trying to keep it on, man.
So anyway, keep that in mind and Shop alone, only two adults coming out, but we will be closed tomorrow. And as is Easter, it's also going to be wet and rainy, as you see on the graphics on the screen there. We're going to have, you know, somewhere around 2 inches of rainfall. If you live south of town, it could be more than that, perhaps considerably more.
Thank you.
North of town, maybe not as much.
Don't go to the dump.
What if you live near the state line?
I would say that you're probably closer to 3 inches in that area. That's okay. That's where some of the more the projections are for more severe weather.
Maybe the Yard Boy will do a rain show again like he did a few weeks ago. Yeah, Chris Whipple, our friend from St. Louis, is said he was planning on planting some sweet woodruff and Japanese spurge today, since the highs are going to be in the low 70s and into the mid-30s tonight. Should he wait another night until the temps are a little better? Maybe a little bit.
Judgment call here? You know, many people have already planted.
Yep.
Despite our recommendations that, you know, you might want to consider waiting. That we know that the average last frost date is generally around the 15th. And if you look right here, there's the 15th right there and 36 degrees. That means most definitely a frost here, actually more like a light freeze. We will likely have 31 degrees. We typically go about 5 degrees lower. But you'll see by Thursday, the temperatures at Lowe's are only 43. And
what
so
are they going to be at Home Depot?
Pardon me?
What are they going to be at Home Depot?
I don't know which one.
You said the Lowe's, the temperature at Lowe's would.
The low temperatures, not temperature.
84 lumber doesn't come in.
This is not, I'm not talking about building materials here. I'm talking about just the high temperature and the low temperature, Josh. I know you're with me on that.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, there's all of that to think about. If you want to be absolutely sure, you wait until after Mother's Day.
Yep.
And there's some people that do that, I mean, religiously every year. They don't plant anything before Mother's Day. And there's a certain credence to that simply because that until the soil temperature, we're not talking air temperature, until the soil temperature warms up enough, the plants really don't, are just kind of going to sit there. Now, we've had a substantial amount of warmer weather. The soil has warmed substantially. So if you plant now, you will need to consider giving some protection, whether it's putting a sheet.
400 thread count at a minimum.
Well, and that's very delicate over garden plants. You may need to find some like little cardboard boxes to put over each one or put some kind of a structure up and then put the sheet. Maybe make a little tent over the top. It does get more difficult. If you're in the city, it will be far less likely that you're going to be dealing with those issues.
Very cool. All right, boys, we have run over as we are wont to do because we started early, and that's going to be a regular thing. So we can get all of our.
We got nobody really regulating us but us, and that's dangerous.
We are the regulators.
It's all about us, folks. So I mean, and it's all about you, the at homies. Go out to the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page. Hit the like button so that way you'll get notification.
And remember, you can leave a message during the week. The number on the screen right there.
And we also you will see some archival footage. There's one from deep from the archives that went up yesterday. They're usually quick. They're usually easy to just digest without a second. We don't write, you know, treatises on there. The show is also going to be a podcast from now on, so you can go to wherever you to source your podcast.
Yeah, Google, Apple, search for the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.
And you'll see the graphic there that's behind David's head and my head right now. Mm-hmm. That's the one you're going to be looking for. And we're going to try to do this again next Saturday morning if everybody's going to be available. You coming back, Michael?
I'm always available.
David, you okay?
Yeah, I'm pretty much here all the time.
Oh, okay. Especially in the springtime.
Yeah.
But, folks, we appreciate you watching and listening. And, again, share and tell all your friends.
Everybody you've ever known in your entire life.
Yeah,
make sure you go out there.
All of your friends on your friends list.
Share the link to everyone that you've.
It's the perfect reason to reconnect with people we haven't spoken to in years.
And, you know, I think this week we have demonstrated our motto is that we're getting a little better every week. So I think we made a little improvement this week.
Today was good. Yeah. Okay. We were on time. We didn't have to restart the stream because it was sideways.
Well, I improved our internet connectivity down here. Yeah. So we did make some significant improvements. So
we're still seeking technology. And
Sally Chaney, howdy.
So good to see
you. Glad we got to see you this morning before we get off the air. So tune in next week, everybody. We'll be right here.